Hello, my name's Mariah Dunn, and I'm a program manager on the accessibility team. Today, I'm going to be talking with you about accessibility on Windows 10. By the end of this talk, you will know the four main accessibility design principles when designing accessible apps. And you will also know some of the assistive technology on Windows 10. When we design our products to be accessible, we make them better for everyone. There's this common misconception that when developers design their apps to be accessible, we make them better for a small disabled community. But in actuality, when we design our apps to be accessible, we make them better for everyone who is situationally disabled. And at times, we are all situationally disabled. For example, if you can't control your device with your hands because you're cooking, or you're driving, or you're holding a child, or if you can't see your device because of the sun's glare, these are all examples of being situationally disabled. And when we make our products better and accessible, we make them better for everyone. During this talk, we're going to be focusing on accessibility solutions for specifically vision, hearing, and mobility disabilities. Now, Windows as a platform has many different accessibility solutions for many different disabilities. However, we're going to focus on a smaller set of accessibility solutions that are most interesting to developers. So I'm going to define these disabilities within the context of this talk. When I say a vision disability, I mean someone who has low vision, or is vision impaired, or someone who is blind, or someone who has contrast sensitivity. And someone who has contrast sensitivity has difficulty seeing contrast between colors. When I say a hearing disability, I mean someone who is hard of hearing or has lost their hearing. And when I say a mobility disability, I mean someone who has difficulty using their hands or fingers. So the four main accessibility design principles. The first is that whenever possible, use the XAML common controls. XAML as a platform has done a ton of work to make sure the common controls are accessible out of the box. So whenever possible, try and use the common controls. The next design principle is keyboard accessibility. Keyboard accessibility allows a user to interact with a computer without a mouse, with just a keyboard. For keyboard accessibility, it's important to make sure all of your interactive UI elements are keyboard accessible. That means you can access them with your keyboard through a combination of keys, generally the tab key, the arrow keys, or other keys. And when we talk about keyboard accessibility, we generally talk about a concept called linearization. And linearization is the concept that you can navigate between one piece of your UI to the next piece of your UI in a logical or linear fashion. And I'll give you an example of that in a little bit. The third design principle is programmatic accessibility. And programmatic accessibility means that you can properly expose the content of your UI through UI automation. This allows assistive technologies such as Narrator or Magnifier to access the functionality in your application. So to give you an example of this, if you're using a button or a control, it's important to make sure you have an accessible name on these controls so assistive technologies such as Narrator know what type of control that is. And the last design principle we're going to talk about is respecting the user settings. Windows provides many different user settings that allow the end user to configure their machine to be more accessible for them. And so as a developer, it's important to make sure you're aware of those user settings and, whenever possible, respect them. So now I'm going to show you some examples of these four design principles in action. So I'm going to bring up the Windows 10 settings menu. This settings menu is actually built in XAML. And so this is a great example for you if you are a XAML developer. So starting off with our first design principle, using common controls whenever possible. And settings is actually using common controls here. This is a text box. This is a grid view with grid view items. So a great use of the first principle. The second design principle is keyboard accessibility. And so I'll give you an example of that. So if I start here and click into my text box, I can now tab to my grid view. And I can now use the arrow keys to get through my grid view items. So here I'm just going to press the left arrow key, which allows me to get through all of the pieces of my UI within my grid view. And an example here, when I move from the accounts grid view item to the time and language grid view item, this is a great example of linearization because I'm able to get from the beginning part of my grid view to the end of my grid view in a linear and logical way by just pressing one key. So that's a great example of keyboard accessibility. So the third design principle is programmatic accessibility. And I'm going to turn on the inbox screen reader called Narrator to give you an example of programmatic accessibility. So I'm going to turn on the inbox screen reader by pressing Windows Enter.
Settings window. Settings window.
And now I'm going to tab around a little bit.
Search box. Find a setting. Editing. Time and language. 6 of 9. 6 of 9.
So here, you just heard Narrator speak the useful information of where I am on the screen. And this is an example, a great example of how Settings has exposed the content within their UI to UI automation so that the assistive technology, which is Narrator in this case, can access that information and then speak what's on the screen. So this is a great example of how programmatic accessibility works. So I'm going to turn off Narrator now by pressing Windows Enter again.
Exiting Narrator.
And now I'm going to show you an example of the fourth design principle, which is respecting the user settings. And most of the accessibility user settings can be found in the ease of access settings here. And I'm going to show you a setting called high contrast mode. And high contrast mode is used by people who have contrast sensitivity. So difficulty seeing contrast between colors. High contrast mode will help put this machine into a state where all of the colors are highly contrasted with one another. So I'll show you what that looks like now. Apply this. And here you can see what high contrast mode looks like. I'll show you what PowerPoint looks like as well. And so people who have difficulty seeing contrast between colors can use this setting to make their computer more usable for them. So now I'm going to turn off high contrast. And go back to our PowerPoint. Okay. So we spoke about Narrator, which is the inbox screen reader. And you can use the Windows key plus the Enter key to easily bring up Narrator. And it's important as a developer to make sure you provide correct keyboard and programmatic accessibility to allow assistive technology such as Narrator and screen readers to get to the pieces of your UI. We also talked about high contrast mode. And it's important as a developer to make sure that you don't hard code your colors. If you hard code your colors, then high contrast mode will not be able to take effect. So it's important not to hard code your colors. And we actually go through an example in the next video of how you can set up your colors properly to allow high contrast mode to take effect. The third solution for vision problems I'm going to be talking about is magnifier. And magnifier is generally used by people with low vision, and it helps magnify your screen. So I can turn on magnifier with just pressing the Windows and the plus and minus key to zoom in and out. So Windows plus will turn it on. And then I can zoom in with Windows plus again. And again. And you can keep going. And I can zoom back out with the Windows minus key. So great example of another tool for vision problems for low vision. And it's important as a developer to provide correct programmatic accessibility, because programmatic accessibility will be used to help track the focus. And the last solution we're going to talk about for vision problems is, as a developer, you can provide keyboard shortcuts or access keys. And an example of keyboard shortcuts is Control C or Control V for copy and paste. An example of an access key is Alt F. And if you use the inbox controls, the common controls, some of these shortcut keys are actually already implemented for you. For example, if you use the inbox text controls, like the text box, copy and paste, the Control C and Control V are already implemented for you. And access keys is going to be covered more in the third video. This has been a new feature for the next release. And once again, so as a developer, you can think about providing your own shortcut keys and access keys to help provide users who are keyboard-only users to help provide an easier solution for them. So, and I'm going to turn off magnifier. And for we're going to cover two more solutions, one for mobility and one for hearing. So for mobility, so for people who have difficulty using their hands and fingers, they can use something called window speech recognition to talk directly to their computer and control their computer with just their voice. So now I'm going to do a quick demo for you. By just typing in Windows speech. So now I'm going to turn it on. Show numbers. 12. Okay. Show numbers. 13. Okay. So that gives you a quick demo of how Windows speech recognition works. And you can see how someone can control their computer with just their voice. And now we're going to talk about the last solution, which is closed captions. And closed captions are generally used by people who have hearing impairments. And closed captions are displayed generally during a movie to tell you what is being said or what is being heard. And within the ease of access settings, there's many different settings to help you change what the closed captions look like. So here I can change the color of my captions. And if you use the inbox media transport controls within XAML, I'll show you a picture, you will actually get this behavior for free. So if you use the inbox media transport controls, they look like this, you will get closed captions for free if the closed captions are in the video stream. So if you're providing your own media transport controls, you may want to think about providing access to these settings. But if you're using the inbox controls, then you don't have to do any extra work. So call to action. Thanks for joining us. Remember back to the beginning of this talk, and whenever possible, try and make your applications accessible, because you'll make them better for everyone. There are more resources for you on msdn.microsoft.com/enable. There are also two other videos in this series that cover helpful background accessibility information. The next video covers common accessibility problems that all XAML developers run into when designing accessible applications, and that video is done mostly in Visual Studio. And the final video covers new features that are coming in the next release. And you can also check out Channel 9 and Microsoft Virtual Academy to continue your education. Thanks for joining us.